When you want an opportunity to hear from people all over the sports world, there's only one voice to trust to bring those stories to you. Here now with a special guest is Dan Tortora.
Welcome here to Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on WakeUpCallDT.com, your one-stop sports shop, and the free Wake Up Call DT app you can get from the Google Play Store, as well as for all Apple products, your iPhone, iPad, and iPod. You can also find the show on iTunes. The free podcast is the name of the show, Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora. So however you're listening in, thank you so much. I greatly appreciate it. And I also greatly appreciate the gentleman that is now coming on to the show, someone who I have had the honor and the privilege of getting to know and speak with over the past three, 4 years, and that's Phil Wedden, the head coach of Syracuse women's soccer, but also someone who has been very close to the United States women's national team that is coming off of their 2015 World Cup victory. And Phil, above all things, a nice guy, always been a good person to me, and has always made himself available. So I can't thank him enough for being a part of the show today and for being the person that he is. So let's bring him in. Phil, how you doing today?
Very good, Ben. How are you?
I'm doing very well, and I can start off by saying you called this. You said this was going to happen when we were talking on the 4th of July, so let's start there. What made you believe that the United States were going to be able to avenge that loss to Japan from 4 years ago?
Well, I think the U.S. showed great improvement as the tournament went on. There were a lot of naysayers earlier in the early round in the group of death, and you know, as soon as the lineup changed, as soon as the formation changed, the team just kept getting better and better. But also, I was privileged enough to be around the team in March, and we actually played against Japan in a closed-door game. And the U.S. team at that point sort of dismantled Japan in a closed-door game. And that, when I saw them playing Japan in the final, you know, I sort of thought that the Japanese wouldn't be able to hold the U.S. off.
What was it in that closed-door game with Japan that the United States won 2-0? What was it in that game that really made you feel like Japan's not going to be ready for the United States if they see him again?
Well, in the closed-door game, obviously, you experiment with lineups. And you know, because at that time of the cycle, if you like, Coach Ellis was looking to experiment with players, put people in different positions. And really, for the majority of the game, the first team, if you like, wasn't on the field. And still, Japan didn't have the answers to break down the U.S.
With some of the lineup changes that you've seen the United States women's national team take for this World Cup, what are some of the things that you feel like have been so successful, some of the strong moves made by the United States as far as lineup changes?
Well, the U.S. sort of started the World Cup in a 4-4-2. With four in the midfield and I think five different players played out wide on the right. And there just didn't seem to be that chemistry. And there are some special players on the team. I didn't think at the time that playing that formation highlighted the attributes of some of those players. Then the coaching decision was made to change the lineup slightly and push Carly Lloyd into a more attacking role. Really playing almost in a 4-3-3. And as we saw in the last few games, Carly Lloyd has sort of had the run of the show and been able to play the way that she's been playing.
What can you say about Carly Lloyd and this run in the World Cup and her play overall? How have you seen her grow into who she is and into the amazing player that's obviously getting credit for it at this point?
You know, I've been fortunate enough to see Carly over a number of years. And I came back from the trip in March and said, well, you know, she could be the best midfielder in the world. Just after being around her, watching her train again and such. And, you know, she just was absolutely electrifying yesterday. On the ball, off the ball, her movement, I mean, her dedication to her job, her dedication to her body. body and making sure that she's physically able to perform at a high level is first class. It almost goes beyond professional. So she really has set the standard very, very high for all the young players who are looking to join the U.S. ranks and aspire to play on the national team.
When you look at this national team that was in the 2015 World Cup, who are some of the players that, besides Carly Lloyd, really stick out to you and really have grown into something special? Who are some of those people that are kind of a lasting memory in your mind as far as what they've been doing recently?
Well, I think the one person that automatically springs to everyone's mind is Julie Johnson, who played as a central defender. Julie came in in March. She was in that camp in March, and Coach Ellis was trying to decide what was the best centre-back pairing, because Christy Rampone was injured at the time, or coming back from injury, and Julie just has risen time and time again. I mean, she was absolutely fantastic. She had the unfortunate own goal yesterday. It came off her head, but she was stellar throughout the tournament. So Julie Johnson, I think, is definitely one to watch out for. I think she'll be on the team for many, many years to come. And I think one person who doesn't get a lot of credit is Ali Krieger, the right back. I thought that she had an exceptional World Cup.
And what was it about her that made you feel, makes you say something like that her play, that Krieger's play, really was something that stood out to you? What can you say about Allie and why you think maybe she didn't get the credit but is still a special player for the U.S. Women's National Team?
Well, obviously, the defense in general was, up until the final, had only conceded one goal. Hope Solo, up until the final, had made 11 plays across the course of the tournament, and four of those coming in the first game against Australia. So, the defense was doing a fantastic job, and so that's Julie, that's Krieger, obviously Becky Sauerbrunn and Megan Klingenberg. But Krieger, as a right back, as an outside back, and not only was she solid defensively, but going forward, I mean, the runs that she made going forward, the contributions to the attack, which is what the modern game is all about. These are attacking outside backs, and for me, Krieger really epitomizes that.
When you look at the United States and you look at their road to this World Cup final and obviously winning it against Japan, what can you say about the games that they played leading up into the finale? Anything that you took away from beginning against Australia all the way through? If there was any game or any moment that really stuck out to you that made you stop and think they can do it this year?
I'd have to say that it was the Germany game. That people talked about Germany having not really played a tough opponent up until the Norway game when they played Norway. They said, people felt that Germany had an easy path. Obviously, the U.S. had a very, very difficult path, but they weren't firing on all cylinders, if you like. There were many, many people questioned the midfield, many people questioned the formation. And then when they played Germany, obviously they'd already played Sweden and Australia and Nigeria and China, so a lot of top teams. So going into the Germany game and those lineup changes, once I saw the way that they dismantled Germany, I thought, there's no way that they're not going to win the World Cup.
Germany, and we talked about this off the air a little bit, was regarded as the number one team in the world, the number one country to beat. The United States went into that game and shut them out 2-0. What did you think about Germany going into that game? Because I know that you had just brought up the fact that there's been some critique that they didn't really play a truly tough opponent leading into this, but when there's all that talk that Germany is the best, number one ranked, nobody can beat them, and that the United States not only beat them, but beat them convincingly, what are your thoughts about that game, and what were your thoughts going into the game about Germany?
Well, obviously, Germany was touted to win the whole thing. They're being number one in the world. They have numerous exceptional players. I mean, Sasic is a great player. Pop and Mittag, and I mean, the list goes on. I mean, they were scoring goals for fun in the early group stages. I thought that they were a very, very strong, powerful, aggressive team that had multiple goal scoring options. But I don't think they played a defence that was as organised and as solid and as athletic as the US. So going into the game, it was really a case of, okay, well, which team is going to nullify the other? Which team's strength is really going to shine? And it has to be said that the US, you know, defence was solid throughout, but Germany also looked tired in that game. And the thing about the US, the depth that the US has, the preparation to play is, I mean, no stone is left unturned. The strength and conditioning coach, Dawn Scott, is absolutely phenomenal at her job. So not only are they prepared mentally to play, but physically they're in the best shape of any of the teams in the world, I think.
Salt City Collecticon is Sunday, July 12th, from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m., located at the F Shed at the Regional Market on 2100 Park Street in Syracuse, New York. Enjoy a wide variety of comic books, toys, video games, and tabletop gaming brought to you by Larger Than Life Toys and Comics and GameStop. For more info, go to saltcitycollecticon.com. That's saltcitycollecticon.com.
Hey, Central New York, this is your wake-up call. It's your favorite Kill Girls, Pamela and Storm. Have you visited our location between Brugger's and Hampton Inn right off of Erie Boulevard?
Come visit our world-famous Kill Girls and be immersed in the best sports experience of your life.
Tilted Kilt, your premier sports pub wear.
A cold beer never looks so good.
Gear up with the real deal at Dreisig Apparel, the best place for you to go when it comes to finding your image, creating what people are going to see and learn about you before they even meet you. At dreisigapparel.com, that's D-R-E-I-S-S-I-G apparel.com, you have the opportunity to not only outfit your team well, but also to outfit your business, outfit your event, outfit your breast cancer walk. When it comes to looking good and feeling comfortable in your own skin, the only place to go is Dreisig Apparel. Dreisig apparel.com. Gear up for what you need for your team, business, or event. To look professional, look good, and feel good, outfit yourself at dreisigapparel.com. That's Dreisig apparel.com. The only place to gear up with the real deal. What's the universal language of a fan? Clapping your hands. With Fan Hands, the ultimate sports fan accessory, found on fanhands.com. That's FANHANDS.com. I can take that and enhance that for you, make it even better, even stronger than it's been before. Be the loudest fan without ever having to lose your voice by choosing one of 11 different colors, always in stock on fanhands.com. And all you have to do is clap your hands, something you've done every single game since you were a kid. Fanhands.com, get your favorite pair of fan hands right now. Find your team color, slip them on, and start cheering on your favorite team with 11 different colors, always in stock on fanhands.com, where you'll find the ultimate sports fan accessory. Fanhands.com. That's FANHANDS.com. Real fans wear fan hands.
I'm George Townsend of Honda City with some good advice when buying a new car. The true cost of owning a new car is determined by the appraised value when you trade it. No vehicle appraises higher than a Honda. Next, look for low APRs and deep discounts. You also want low maintenance costs and great fuel economy. That's why my advice to you is to buy a new Honda. Looking pre-owned, visit our Honda Certified Used Car Center. Honda City, 7140 Henry Clay Boulevard, Liverpool, or HondaCity-CNY.com.
It would be a pity if you don't shop.
When you look at this team and some of the people that, you know, continue to be around on the team, like Abby Wambach and Hope Solo, what is it about them that can build this longevity? Because you talk about conditioning and being ready, and, you know, some teams, whether it's a women's team or a men's team, you know, you look at a team like Italy that won the World Cup, and then 4 years later, you know, the team is old. They're not, you know, they're not going to be able to run with certain people. It seems like the United States took the players that they had as veterans and some newer players and were able to do what they did 4 years ago, run right through, and then say, okay, you know what, we're here again, but we're going to take it this time. I feel like it says something truly special about the United States to bring back some veterans, bring in some other people, put a team together and say, we're going to make this happen 4 years later. You know, anybody can set out to do that, but when you're playing against the rest of the world, literally, it's very hard to get there. So what can you say about this team and these veterans and how they just kind of made the decision they were coming back and they did it?
Well, the influx of new players emerging. So Morgan Bryant, for example, is a year removed from college. She played at UVA, so she's out of college for 1 year and she's a World Cup champion. You know, Sydney Leroux, Alex Morgan, the younger players, Klingenberg coming through. You know, Carly Lloyd, even though she's not necessarily a younger player, she hasn't been around as long as Abby and Christy and Hope and the rest of them. The programming for U.S. soccer is absolutely phenomenal. There are youth national teams from U15, 16, 17, all the way up, so every age group. So the players coming through the system get international experience at a very, very early age. Some of these players have been in the, I mean, Abby has been in the system for, you know, 15 years or so, and if not more, actually. But you can't win a World Cup without getting that experience. And you have to have veteran leadership. As you saw on at every game, Abby's leadership, even if she wasn't playing, was of the highest caliber, motivating the players. So the blend of veteran leaders, Abby, Hope, Christy Rampone, Shannon Fox, Lauren Holiday, all those players who have been around for a while, and the influx of the new players, the putting it all together, I thought was absolutely amazing. It was a great job done by Jill Ellis.
When you look at this team, Hope Solo is obviously somebody you've spent a lot of time with. So, you know, you've had an expertise in being able to train goalkeepers and bring them up. And when you got to know Hope Solo, that she wasn't this starter. She wasn't the person that was such a, you know, had such a spotlight on her with the United States women's national team. She had to come up. She had to grow through the system. And you worked with her through that system. And you've obviously stayed in touch with her since. What can you say about the player that she was when you first met her and the player that she is today?
Well, I mean, Hope has always been hungry for success. She's been motivated to be the best. She was the alternate goalkeeper in the Olympics in 2004. So she had been playing. She just left college. She'd been in various youth teams. Youth national teams, and she'd gone to Sweden to play in Sweden for a year. And at the end of the Olympics, you know, when I spoke to her, I said, look, Hope, you've got so much potential. And she said, I'm sick of the word potential. I don't want to have potential anymore. So she was driven to be the number one. And even though she's had her ups and downs, I don't think her performance has necessarily suffered over the course of time. Consistency for a goalkeeper is absolutely vital. And on her worst day, Hope is as consistent as any other goalkeeper in the world. And on her best day, she's unbeatable. So, you know, it's been an absolutely fantastic journey. But I'm so thrilled for her that not only did she get the Golden Glove as the best goalkeeper in the World Cup, but she's now a World Cup champion.
Would you call her the best goalkeeper in the world, or would you reserve that for someone else, despite the fact that the United States won the World Cup? When you look at goalkeepers from across the world, where does she lie?
Well, for many people, Nadine Anger, the German goalkeeper, was very, very good. You could argue that Anger had a lot more to do during the course of the World Cup than Hope Solo did. There's a lot of things that go on behind the scenes with Hope as far as her organization of the back four and individual chats with defenders to make sure that things don't fall apart. And as much as the back four limited the number of shots that Hope faced, a lot of that has to come down to Hope's communication and organization of the back four. I think athletically, and with a total package, I think Hope is the best goalkeeper in the world.
What do you think about some of the stuff that has happened off the field from you knowing her and from getting to see her and knowing her drive and, like you said, having conversations with her about her having potential and seeing that she wanted more and fighting for it? When all this stuff comes up off the field, how did you handle it as someone who has been a mentor to her and guided her in the world of soccer? How do you handle some of this stuff that didn't have to do with soccer?
Well, to be honest, I'm not really qualified to talk about that. I have been around her quite a lot, but I've never talked to her about the off-the-field things. Those things seem to have happened in the last few years. I've always kept it about soccer with Hope. What happens off the field, in my opinion, stays off the field with the players and their private lives, and they can handle that however they need to handle it. Obviously, people make good decisions, people make bad decisions, and you know, if you make a bad decision, you have to suffer the consequences. So I think for the media controversy about Hope, that's something that I'd rather not talk about.
For the person that you know and who you've seen and grow through working with you and working obviously with the national team, what can you say about Hope and how you define her from how you know her, what you've seen out of her, what she's attained? I know we talked about her being the best goalkeeper in the world, in your opinion, right now. But overall, how do you define Hope Solo from your standpoint?
I think Hope has redefined the goalkeeping position in the women's game in particular. The ability to play with your feet and be a field player first. Many people don't know this, but if Hope doesn't feel good striking goal kicks with her right foot, she'll switch to her left. She's as good with her left as she is with her right. She can drop kick, she can knock long balls, she can play short with both her left and her right foot. So she's redefined this 11th player position. The goalkeeper is the 11th field player. She's really redefined that in goalkeeping. She has to maintain the level of consistency on the field that she's had over the course of the last 10 years is absolutely outstanding. So it shows that, again, we talked about this with Carly, the commitment it takes and the preparation that it takes to have your body physically able to do this, having had shoulder surgery, having had wrist surgery, and bouncing back from these surgeries to be the best, it just shows that Hope is passionate, dedicated, and committed to being the best.
Carvel DeWitt, it's what happy tastes like. Do you know why? Because we make ice cream. Creamy, rich, flavorful ice cream. Not yogurt or ice milk like some of our competitors. Ice cream. Fresh, by hand, daily. For the calorie conscious, we have something new for you. Our new Carvelite. Same great flavor, creaminess, and texture of our regular ice cream with only 35 calories an ounce. So whether you want an ice cream cake, flying saucer, dasher, carvelage, hard or soft ice cream, we will satisfy your craving with our fresh, handmade regular or new Carvelite ice cream. Carvel DeWitt. It's what happy tastes like.
Clothing that will change with you without you having to change. DreissigLady.com, DreissIg Lady.com, with the bamboo line relaxed fit clothing as well as the athletic fit clothing. DreissigLady.com is fit for any woman, any time of the day, anywhere. Whatever you're doing, whatever your day commands of you, command yourself to feel comfortable in Dreissig Lady Apparel. DREISSIG lady.com for all the women out there. Feel good in what you're wearing and don't feel like you have to constantly change throughout the day. Whether you're a stay-at-home mom, a business owner, going for a jog, going for a meeting, or just relaxing at home, DreissigLady.com is the right fit for you. DREISSIG lady.com.
Cam's Pizzeria isn't just a pizza place, it's a piece of home. Whether you're in Baldwinsville, Camillus, Oswego, or on Lemoyne Plaza, Tony Calcibetta finds a way to give you something that you can't find anywhere else. You go out to get something to eat, you're going to get something to eat. You're not in your own home. Well, when you go to Cam's Pizzeria in Baldwinsville, Camillus, Lemoyne Plaza, and Oswego, those locations give you the feeling of just being at home, relaxing, being comfortable. There's nothing like going out and getting good food, and Cam's Pizzeria will give you that. From their traditional slice to pepperoni to my favorite, the cheeseburger pizza, which you have to try, as well as buffalo chicken, chicken bacon ranch, and the other specialties and favorites they have. It's not just about the pizza. It's about the relationships. It's about building a bigger family. And Tony Calcibetta has been all about that since day one, which is why I wanted to work with him, which is why I want to send you there. Because when you sit down in a Cam's Pizzeria, you feel like you're sitting at home. You feel like you can be there with your family, your friends, to study, to have a meeting, or maybe to meet the best person you'll ever find in your life. I know that when I go to Cam's, I truly feel like I'm just walking to another room in my house. I'm just having great pizza in a great atmosphere. A place where I feel comfortable, where I feel appreciated. A place that isn't just a pizza place, but a piece of home. Go to camspizzeria.com right now to get the addresses to the Camillus, Baldwinsville, Lemoyne Plaza, and Oswego locations. Camspizzeria.com. That's C-A-M-S pizzeria.com. Cam's Pizzeria. Truly an experience that you'll always want to come back to. Supporting a United States veteran is something that shouldn't even be a question on your mind. The freedom for me to stand here today as a broadcaster, to have started my own company, comes from sacrifices made by United States veterans. Give back to them by buying the book 15 Feet for Free. It was created by Jim Lee, Syracuse Orange alum, to help basketball players around the country to learn and to grow in the sport, but at the same time, he created the book with a bigger message. By going to AuthorHouse.com and buying 15 Feet for Free, half of every single book that's bought goes back to the United States veterans. He wanted to do something special for his father, who was a veteran, and for veterans everywhere. So go to AuthorHouse.com now and buy 15 Feet for Free. It doesn't take much to give back to a United States veteran. AuthorHouse.com, 15 Feet for Free. Give back to them today.
My mom believed that we could find a way from day one. She never gave up. Yum Yum's gluten-free bakery and cafe isn't just about a drink. It's about bringing hope to a family. Now your family has a kitchen to call home. With breakfast, lunch, and dinner served daily, as well as signature tasty desserts, Yum Yum's is the best choice for the whole family. Whether you're gluten-free or not, Yum Yum's is the spot. Yum Yum's Gluten-Free Bakery and Cafe, 601.5 West Mammalia Street in East Syracuse. Call 315-314-7542. That's 315-314-7542.
Larger Than Life Toys and Comics is a 6,000 square foot haven of comics and collectibles located inside the Great Northern Mall in Clay, New York. They offer new as well as vintage comics, collectibles, video games, and more. Larger Than Life Toys and Comics will also buy from you. So bring in your used or vintage comics and toys today to their store inside the Great Northern Mall in Clay, New York. Call 315-622-1891 to learn more about their trade-in policy, store credit, and even layaway. That's 315-622-1891. And make sure to like their Facebook page, Larger Than Life Comics, for constant updates, store hours, and more.
Before I let you go, Phil, when we look at this women's national team, you know, they all come from different places and they play for different teams. What can you say about the state of professional soccer for women in the United States? Do you feel like there's moves being made to grow? I mean, we've seen men's soccer in the MLS have an influx and be at a place where, you know, 10, 15 years ago, what is it going to be? And now it's really become something beautiful, something successful, something that's constantly growing. Team in Orlando, team in New York City, you know, continuing with it, teams like Atlanta and other things coming up. Where is women's soccer professionally in America, in your opinion, and where does it need to go?
Well, the number one thing about the women's game in the U.S. is fantastic that we have the league. But the following, the support from the fans just hasn't been there as much as it should have. You know, the salaries are not comparable at all to the male soccer player. Coaching salaries are not comparable at all to the male coaching system. Some teams don't even have a full-time assistant coach. So the resources aren't there financially to sustain the game at a high, high level. And I mean, some of these players in the NWSL have to have other jobs to help their living situation, their financial situation. Fans don't necessarily turn up at the game. I mean, you're seeing teams play in front of 2,000 people. Well, 2,000 people doesn't pay the bills, you know, so there's oftentimes the league operates at a loss, which is what happened in the WSA and the WPS before, you know, after that. So it's imperative that, that there's a springboard here, and we use this momentum from the World Cup win to get people in the stands, to provide a product for fans that they're going to enjoy and want to come back. You know, it's now's the time. This is what happened in 1999. It was the time where the WSA started because of the World Cup success and the attention to women's soccer. We've been fortunate now to have another World Cup win, which was thoroughly deserved. I'm hoping that there's a massive influx now and a lot more attention paid to women's soccer, and therefore more people will go to games. It's a great product. I mean, you get to see these players playing firsthand is absolutely exceptional. Not only the US players, but the Canadian players, the Mexican players, Brazilians. I mean, they're all in the league, and it's something that I hope really takes off, especially given the boost from the World Cup.
And to close for you, Phil, to look at this women's national team, to look at the players that have obviously competed in the NWSL and now gone around the world with this country and shown that the United States is extremely capable of getting to that finale and winning that finale. Where do you think the state of women's soccer is in the United States right now as far as this national team and how they look to teams around the world? What is the state? Because I know that the question I always get is, you know, are the men ever going to do it? You know, Dan, how good are the men? Are they going to get there? But I think what goes unnoticed and underappreciated sometimes is that the question is always, can the men do X? Whereas we know the women can do X. And so how do you kind of view everything? Because to me, the women have been the consistent powerhouse, and I feel like they're not consistently given the due credit for being that.
The U.S. has this amazing system in place, and it's a training ground that no other country in the world has. The college system and the national team system work hand in hand. So players are playing at a high level, organized soccer, all the way through their childhood and into their early adulthood and in college, which allows the female soccer players in this country to play consistently day in, day out, more so than any other team in the world. The difference is, as a young player growing up in another country, as a male, as you're playing men's soccer, you're being snapped up at 14 or even younger to go through a professional system. So the young boys around the world, in Germany, in England, in Spain, wherever it may be, Italy, they're joining these professional teams, receiving professional training, working with other players of a high level day in, day out from an early age, much like our women are, our young female players are. In the US, that isn't happening. So, and obviously, we've got a tremendous amount of male players playing the game, and some fantastic players are out there. That's why we have now the Development Academy that's been around for a few years to try and create this professional environment, if you like. That's why the MLS teams now have youth academies, but we're 20, 30, 40 years behind the times as far as that goes, because all these other countries have been doing it for years. So the men's, you know, the Jurgen Klinsmann has a great approach, he has great staff. He's had some tremendous success recently, and I think we're starting to see that the U.S. on the men's side can contend. But we need these professional environments for our young players on the men's side as well.
I definitely agree with you, and I feel like this is the time, obviously, to go out and support the National Women's Soccer League, support what these teams are trying to do, what these coaches are trying to do, and to keep women from having to have two jobs when they can focus, like any other professional athlete, on the task at hand, and that's playing women's soccer in the United States. They've shown that they have the best talent in the world, and now I feel that talent needs to be rewarded and supported by the United States, and I feel like you would stand with me on that, Phil, and I hope that's something that comes about sooner than later.
I couldn't agree more. Absolutely, I'm on your side with that.
Well, Phil, as always, it is a great time to speak with you, and I can't wait for the next opportunity. So thank you for taking some time with me today. Thank you for all the hard work and efforts that you've made with United States Women's Soccer, however you've done it over the years. Whatever you've done, big or small, in your mind has been big, and what you do for Syracuse Women's Soccer has been special as well. So to everybody that doesn't know the hard work that you put in, I want to say that it's something that should never go unnoticed, underappreciated, or unwarranted. And I really, I can't thank you enough for the time that you take to talk about it and how humble you have always been in talking about some of these things that you've been able to do and things that you've been able to bring about. So thank you for that.
Thank you, Dan. Thanks for having me on, and thanks for your support of the sport and helping us to try and get the word out there. I really appreciate it.
Well, you know, when you're the best team in the world, I think you got to have the best fans in the world. I think that's only fair.
Right, absolutely.
All right, well, I will talk to you soon. Thank you again, and we'll keep in touch.
All right, thanks, Dan. Take care.